I'll call this meeting of the Subcommittee on Elections to order. We do have quorum. I haven't really looked at my packet yet. Do we have minutes today? Okay. Representative Driscoll, have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I moved the minutes from the last meeting.
The minutes have been moved. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. The minutes are adopted. Okay, so today we're going to go through a few bills, and we have a few amendments. And I'm expecting to have some great debate and some great discussion. My hope is that we will get out of here hopefully by 11:30, if possible, because I understand that you all are going to try to meet, so we'll try to get that taken care of. And first off, we're going to start with House File 1855. I need a motion to reconsider this. Last time it was laid over for inclusion, and we've since learned that it needs to go to GovOp. So can I have a motion to reconsider?
So moved.
Okay. With 1855 being reconsidered, I will make a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, you and I spoke about this yesterday.
Yep.
And, you know, this place is all about procedure and process and posting things in time that we can let the voice of the minority be heard, and that folks who might want to address the bill have enough notice to come down and do so. And Mr. Chair, yesterday we found out that this was being re-referred to GovOps. I stopped by to talk to Ms. Vang, gave you an alert that I was concerned about this. And then within minutes of me doing so, the bill was then posted to the committee webpage. Well past the deadline for us to do anything. No amendments could be offered, nothing could be done. You and I chatted about that at length in my office, and I'm disappointed that we're actually picking this up today, because none of our members knew what was going on. And even within the committee's rules, and you posted things way too late. So I'm very disappointed that this is even being brought up here today. This is not proper process, procedure, transparency. It's very opaque. And for that reason, Mr. Chair, I would make a motion to lay this on the table and take it up another day.
Okay, we have a motion to lay on the table. I believe that is not debatable. So we will take a vote on laying it on the table.
All I would like a roll call, Mr. Chair.
Roll call has been called. The clerk will take the roll on laying 1855 on the table. Please proceed. Ms. Fang.
Chair Dean?
No.
Bonner? Nash?
Yes.
Bernardi? Halverson?
No.
Mann?
No.
New? Ojisco?
Yes.
Being three nays and two ayes, the motion to lay on table is not adopted. So we will move back to reconsideration of 1855. And I would just like to respond to you, Representative Nash. I certainly understand your concern. As we chatted yesterday, no. We are looking at 1855. Yes. Before we move the 1855 DE1 amendment, I just would like to respond and say that the 1855 was taken up before the committee previously. We did have conversations and discussions. I believe there were lengthy discussions regarding it. There were several amendments that were offered. So it's not as if we hadn't heard this bill previously. We have heard this bill previously. And that's why I would put forward that doing what we're doing is actually in order. I understand your concern on not being able to offer new amendments to it at this time. That's definitely a reasonable consideration. And the record will show that, you know, you're objecting to us moving forward with this. But I think it's important that to get this bill in the place that it should be, that we're going to proceed forward with this.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thanks. You know, I just think that this is, it's troubling that this bill was laid over, which indicates that it's going to be, or at the time it was likely to have been included in an omnibus bill. Mm-hmm. Clearly it's not. It's being referred to GovOps, and that's probably one of my other main objections, that a bill that most members would have thought, well, it'll get laid over, it'll get bundled into the omnibus bill, we'll talk about it some more. This committee is the Elections Committee, and I was under the presumption that it was to be a bipartisan committee on our products and the things that we would move through. Clearly, that's not the case. You know, I was absent that day because of my concussion, and I had some fairly strong opinions on this. And I, you know, we're not really going to be able to do much since it's going to be referred. And I believe you told me last night that there's, you know, this with this amendment, it's going to be divided, and we're going to do some things again. But you know, so I guess I'm troubled that this is the direction that we're going with this. So yeah, it's just setting a bad tone for the day. I believe that that we're looking at this sort of thing.
taken under consideration, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and you know, I think it's important that we, you know, talk about procedure, and I agree that we need to make sure that voices are heard, and I think it's a general value around here that we don't silence the voice of the minority. I think that's part of our democracy. And I spend time with the minority, so I we maybe, again, this is the way that the nature of this place, and so I think that fair is fair. I do, however, think that it's important for us to do this work so that it can get further vetting, get another committee hearing, have another opportunity for another group of legislators to take up the discussion, the debate, the amendments around this bill, because it's a really important topic, and it's something that has kind of confounded the legislature for far too long, and the people I think are frustrated by the process, our process of redistricting. It's been a process that hasn't worked. I mean, we get maps, and somebody kind of inelegantly one time said, well, these are just disposable. We know that these aren't going to be the maps. And because there has not been a process that has worked in the legislature for a very, very long time. So being able to vet this further in another committee, as opposed to rolling it into our omnibus bill and moving it to the floor, actually, I think will give us more opportunity to discuss and debate amendments to provide more thorough vetting of this bill. Because it is when we look at changing the way that we apportion our districts, it's a big deal, and it's particularly a big deal now when other states have taken on such massive reapportionment that has disadvantaged specific groups of people. Eyes are going to be on Minnesota with how we reapportion our maps. Eyes are going to be on Minnesota because our state to the east of us had to take their maps to court because they were so partisan in their redistricting. We had other states in the east and in the south that were found not only to have partisan redistricting maps that were terribly gerrymandered, but racially gerrymandered maps. The history of racial gerrymandering in this country is something that is nothing but the attempt to undo the Voting Rights Act of 1964, to undo the 14th Amendment, that we have a really important job to do when it comes to redistricting. And if we don't do our work and send this to government operations for further vetting, you know, that's where we lose our opportunity to really change and have discussion and debate on this bill. I have tremendous concerns with where we could potentially go with redistricting in the state of Minnesota, and we absolutely have to have a very thorough and serious debate about it. It's not something that any of us are going to take lightly because of what we have seen happen, because of the Supreme Court that has rolled back protections in other states with regard to consideration of the Voter Rights Act. And that is a real serious problem that we have. So this is absolutely the right move to send it to government operations. And I understand, I mean, that it's going to be a larger committee. It's going to have further vetting and further debate, and I think that that would be extremely helpful with this bill and with this discussion, and so that when it does come to the floor for debate, more members are going to have had their kind of fingers on the bill. More members are going to be doing their work to make sure that this bill is in a shape, I think, to Representative Nash points, so that we do have some bipartisan discussion, bipartisan debate, and hopefully bipartisan buy-in on how we're going to make sure that the people get to draw the maps in Minnesota. So, Mr. Chair, I fully support the reconsideration of this bill.
Well, thank you, Representative Halverson. Do we need to vote on reconsideration? Okay, so we need to now vote to reconsideration of the DE1 on 1855. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay.
No.
Okay. The 1855 is now before us. I will make a motion then to re-refer it, or did we already make that motion? Okay, so we need to re-refer this to government operations. All those in favor? Well, let's have some discussion first before we – the motion is to re-refer it. We did the amendment. What I'd like to do is –
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Could I get Mr. Gehring to walk through what just happened, because there's some level of confusion whether this – you've re-referred it or you've amended it or what's going on here. So if you could – I know it's early in the morning. Some of us are still working on the caffeination levels, but if you could have Mr. Gehring walk through that, please.
Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair and Representative Nash and committee members, so when House File 1855 was heard previously in this committee, you all adopted the 1855 DE1 amendment, and so the chair has scheduled the bill to be heard today, and the motion that just happened to reconsider is to reconsider adoption of the DE1, and then what further then would need to happen is to adopt the DE1 as modified if the committee wishes, or to do whatever else the committee would like to do, and then after that, then you would
motion
refer the bill to the government.
Yeah. Okay, the intent is to refer this to government operations. The DE1 amendment is before us at this time, and I would like to make to divide the DE1. So members, if you look at the DE1, the division will take place at the end of page 3, the end of 3.29, before Article 2. Is this divisible, Mr. Gehring?
Mr. Chair, Dean, the decision about divisibility is the decision of the chair, so I defer to you.
Okay. So what we've done is we've broken it into two parts. The first part is the constitutional amendment that's proposed. And do folks have any questions on that?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative
Chair,
Nash.
Given the nature that we didn't have any opportunity to offer amendments to this given that this was added, and we've gone down this road, but there was no opportunity for us to do that. We're going to offer some oral amendments. We can do that. So the oral amendment that I would first like to offer is that we strike from lines 2.27 to 3.21. Given that the bill is being divided and given that, again, we were deprived of the opportunity to file amendments based on the decision of the chair, I think that this is a fair discussion that we can have.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Howard.
Would it be possible for Representative Nash to just repeat his amendments while I catch up and get reading glasses?
Representative Nash, if you could repeat your oral amendment. And
absolutely. And then we could have maybe Mr. Gehring talk through the impact of what my amendment would be. It's that I'm amending by deletion 2.27 through 3.21 of the bill.
Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair and committee members, so the effect of this oral amendment would be to delete the principles for adopting redistricting plans. So this includes things like the impact on racial groups and population and other items like that. So what would remain in the constitutional amendment is just the structure of the commission. And then there would be the existing language that's already in the Constitution about districts being of convenient contiguous territory and Senate districts divided within a House district would remain in place.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Halverson.
I would oppose this amendment. I think that the principles that underpin the constitutional amendment are incredibly important, particularly in light of the discussion that we just had, that we are experiencing watching other states operate under federal law and federal precedent. Real problems with regard to how the principles with which maps are drawn are considered. And both population and racial considerations are incredibly important to protect enfranchisement for people. So I would oppose this amendment.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, members, you know, this is something that should be done statutorily. We've heard different bills here. The bills don't even agree on the same things that you guys are putting forward. So I think that this is the job of the legislature. If we're going to do that, let's do it by statute. So I would, I would offer the deletion of 2.27 through 3.21. If you're going to do this, let's put those in statutorily and not by constitutional amendment.
Representative Nash, it's been my belief over time, and I know this may not make you guys happy, but generally oral amendments tend to not be significant changes, and I think what you're proposing significantly changes the underlying bill and the underlying bill as divided. So I also would speak against adopting this as an oral amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
Mr. Nash is my dad, I guess, today's purposes. Well, Mr. Chair, had this bill been noticed to us in time, and had we had the opportunity to offer amendments, this would have been one of the amendments that we would have drafted. But again, that was a decision that was made to not allow us to make those amendments through the formal process. This is something that we would have done. So I don't know how this is not effective by your estimation, that an oral amendment would be any different than an amendment that we would have submitted had we been offered the opportunity. Again, I talked to you about this. I said that we would have had amendments. This would have been the fair way to go, and this would have been one of the amendments that we had offered. So I don't know that besmirching this as an oral amendment of insignificance gets us anywhere. This would have been one of the amendments that we would have offered on paper had we been given that opportunity.
And Representative Nash, I will just note that I don't think it's insignificant. I think it's actually a significant oral amendment, and that's why I would say that, as a general rule, many committee chairs do not accept oral amendments that are significant changes. Primarily, they are minor changes. Given your pointing out issues related to posting and other things, and I'll also go back to, you know, we've had this bill before us in the past. I will let you proceed with that, and we will take a vote on it, and then we will continue forward. Representative O'Driscoll.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, as I'm looking at this, you know, procedurally, again, the amendment, a constitutional amendment nonetheless, posted after our deadline, and there wasn't an opportunity for people to be able to see and hear the information. And also, members didn't get a chance on either side to be able to offer amendments to this. And I just want to make sure that I had your attention, Mr. Chair.
Oh, I appreciate
that. And so we're left with no other tool than to try to offer oral amendments in a situation where, by the rules, we weren't given the opportunity by the time that the bill was posted to be reconsidered. And secondly, I also noticed that the bill author isn't even here today, and so we're taking up her bill, and we're dicing and slicing her bill without even her input on this as Representative Schultz, the chief author of this bill. And just really, it's kind of disheartening when you look at the fact that not posted, no ability to do amendments, oral amendments being challenged, bill author isn't here, constitutional amendment.
Well, Mr. Chair, before we go to a vote.
Mr. Chair.
I have Representative Halverson.
Oh, very well.
Before you, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And not to disagree with my chair, because I think my chair does a great job. But I would actually welcome and support debating oral amendments. I think that sometimes we give a little latitude when there isn't, if we have a 24-hour rule and the 24-hour rule isn't met. So it's something that I'm okay discussing. I do think we should vote this amendment down, but that's a different conversation. So I feel comfortable us debating it and voting on it. My two cents.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Halverson. Well, Mr. Chair, I would point out that you're dividing the amendment orally, and that's a fairly significant thing as well. So you're dividing the bill, and yet you just pointed out that that's not something you typically like to do. So I'm, again, just pointing out that your leadership on this issue and your castigation of my oral amendment, you're doing that same thing yourself.
Okay, Representative Nash, I think you sort of crossed the line. I don't think I cast negated any of your proposed amendment. I spoke to what is typical in committees, and dividing a bill is not an amendment. Representative Nash, it's something that's done procedurally, and if I'm not mistaken, a motion to divide a bill is in order at any time if the bill is divisible.
Very well.
So let's debate. Debate the amendment as proposed by you orally.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think I made my point that this is a responsibility that we should have put in statute instead of directly to the ballot on a constitutional amendment.
And I,
Representative
Mr. Chair, I would just repeat that having protections in our Constitution with regard to protect our state against racial and partisan gerrymandering is very much part of what our Constitution is there for, to protect the rights of Minnesotans. So I would vote no on this amendment.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, we'll take a vote on the oral amendment as proposed by Representative Nash. Mr. Gehring, if you could just go through what was proposed so we're sure we know what we're voting on.
Mr. Chair, so the proposed oral amendment is to delete lines 2.27 to 3.21 of the DE1 amendment, and the effect of that is to delete the districting principles from the constitutional amendment.
Okay. that's the motion that is before us. All those in favor of the proposed amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no?
No.
No.
The motion does not carry.
So close.
So now we have the divided amendment before us. Any discussion on the divided amendment? Seeing none, we'll take a vote on the on the bill as divided. Mr. Gehring, if you would like to speak to how this was divided and what we're voting on.
So, Mr. Chair, from what I understand of your division, the committee then would be voting on lines 1.1 through 3.29 of the DE1 amendment. So this would be voting to move forward a proposed constitutional amendment that establishes a redistricting commission with principles.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
May I ask about the second half of the bill that is not being voted on currently? What is the status or your intent for that?
Well,
I know we're not getting to that right now, but if you would let us know what your intent on that is as well.
Well, I think our intent at this time is looking at the enabling language, looking at what we're doing. This may not be 100% necessary at this point in time.
Okay.
It may be something that would come back and resurface at a future time to be taken under consideration. Any other questions? Okay, we'll vote on the 1855 DE1 as amended to be re-referred to government operations. Mr. Gehring?
Mr. Chair, so first you need to vote to adopt the portion that you divided portion.
Okay.
So I would vote first on adopting lines 1.1 to 3.29 of the amendment.
As divided, okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay?
No.
Okay, so now that divided is before us. Okay. Now I would make the motion to re-refer this to government operations. Representative Bernard.
Mr. Chair, do you just want to say that last motion passed? Do you need to say that at all?
Oh, yes. It passed.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
Question for Mr. Gehring. What happens to the balance of the amendment that we did not just vote on?
Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, so it's a decision for the chair as the amendment author, but my understanding is you intend to withdraw the remaining portion of the amendment. Mm-hmm.
Okay, motion to re-refer the first part of the DE amendment as approved to re-refer to government operations. All those Representative Halverson.
I just want to be sure that we have our motion correct so that it gets to where it needs to go. So could Mr. Gehring just clarify what the motion needs to be to re-refer and when we need to take up the other question of what we need to do with the rest of the amendment. So it sounds like we have two motions that we need to adopt or approve. And so what would the first motion need to be? I just want to be sure that it gets to where it needs to go and I'm understanding it.
Mr.
I might be a court low this morning again.
Mr. Representative Halverson, so the committee has already adopted lines 1.1 to 3.29 of the DE1 amendment, so that's part of the bill now.
Okay.
And then the chair has indicated his preference to withdraw the remaining portion of the bill, so line 4.1 through 14.28 of the DE1 amendment has been withdrawn, so that's not before the committee anymore.
Okay.
So you've adopted the portion that I believe the committee is wanting to move forward with, and then the next motion is to move to re-refer House File 1855 as amended to the Government Operations Committee.
Very good. I am caught up, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much.
So we're all clear.
We're all clear.
We're all clear.
I'm ready to vote.
We're all clear. All those in favor of the 1855 DE1 amendment as divided, as voted on, to be re-referred to government or operations, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay?
No.
Okay, 1855 as amended is moving forward to government operations.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
Do we not need to have you then withdraw the balance of the amendment?
I believe that, as stated, that section it has been withdrawn. And by we can even go by nature that it wasn't brought forward again as the second half, that is not before us.
Very well.
And Mr. Chair,
Representative Halloran.
I did hear Mr. Gehring confirm that that had been withdrawn, so I'm with you.
Okie dokie.
Thank you.
Okay, so at this point, we are going to move on to 1603, and I'm going to turn the gavel over to Representative Halverson, and I will take the testifiers table, and we'll proceed with that. I believe there are a few amendments, and we will go through those as they come up.
Welcome to your committee, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move House File 1603 be re-referred to Government Operations, and I would also like to move the DE1 amendment.
Chair Dean moves the DE1 amendment. It's an author's amendment, I assume?
It is.
Any discussion to the amendment to get the shape in the bill the author wants? Seeing none, all those in favor of the DE1 amendment, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say no. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted to your bill as amended, Mr. Chair.
Chair Halverson, this is what's going to be known as the Omnibus Elections Bill, although we will move it back through Government Operations, and where it goes after that, I think, is up to other folks to decide. I believe it will probably end up in a state government finance bill. And I don't know if all of you have the summary sheet, which lays out the different sections from the different bills that are included in this particular amendment. And I will just go through that briefly. And if folks will follow along, that'd be great. So House File 45 by Representative Schultz is included in Sections 1 and 9, and it is regarding automatic voter registration. House File 839 by Representative Hewitt is in Section 2, and that addresses school board vacancies. House File 489, as amended, was authored by me. That's located in Sections 3, 41, 74, and that's transit service on Election Day. House File 40, which was mine as amended, is located in Sections 4, 6, 11, 42, 73, and that's the restoration of voting rights. House File 1371, which was Representative Long's bill, is in Sections 5, 12 through 14, 17, 21 through 23, 25 through 34, 37, 62, 63, and 78 through 80, and that is regarding early voting. House File 1372 was also a Representative Long bill in Sections 7, 15, 18, 19, and 24, and this was regarding permanent absentee voters. House File 1153 was Representative Halverson's bill. It's located in Sections 18, 35, 36, and 67 through 71, and that's presidential national primary. House File 979 was a Representative Gomez bill. It's located in Sections 10 and 75, and that's a landlord's obligation to provide voter information. House File 1152 was Representative Freiberg's bill in Sections 16 and 40, and this is regarding electronic transmission of absentee voting materials. House File 1818 was Representative Bernardi's bill, located in Section 20 regarding in-person absentee voting locations. House File 1098, also Representative Bernardi's, is located in Sections 38, 44, 60, and 64 regarding electronic voting systems. House File 1603 is House File 1603. House File 94 is Representative Bangs bill that's included in Section 43, assisting voters in polling places. House File 1628 is amended, is Representative Sundin's bill located in Sections 45 through 48 regarding special elections timelines. House File 983 is Representative Elkins' bill. It's located in Sections 49 through 59, 61, 63, 65, and 66 regarding ranked choice voting. House File 1941 is Representative Lesch's bill, located in Section 72, which involves the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. House File 14, Representative Nelson's bill, is located in Section 77, which is the Help American Voter Act Election Security Appropriations. The Article 2 of the DE1 amendment looks at campaign financing. House File 1994 is a Freiberg bill as amended. It's located in Sections 1 through 5, 7 through 11, 13 through 16, 18 through 24, 18 through 22, pardon me, 24, 29, and 30, and that regarding Hennepin County elections. House File 2050 is Representative Bonner's bill. It's located in Section 6. It's for express advocating. House File 673, which is Representative Lucero bill, as it was modified, which is located in Section 12, which is regarding non-campaign disbursement for security-related expenses. And House File 2050 is Representative Bonner's bill, located in Sections 17, 23, 25 through 28, regarding electioneering communications. Article 3 is regarding sentencing and redistricting. House File 1605 has several different sections, one regarding redistricting advisory commission, which is in Sections 1 and 6. One other section is districting principles, which is located in Section 2 of Article 3. The LCC duties related to redistricting is located in Section 3. Redistricting of local governments is located in Section 4. And House File 2059, which is a Representative Lee bill, has modifications, and we can also see House File 1644, which was not before our committee, but there were similarities and there was modifications made, which involve access to multi-unit residential facilities, which is in Section 5 of Article 3. So that's the bill, and I would open up for questions or comments, unless we would like to move to the amendments. I would like to actually discuss the bill before we move to amendments, to go through that, and then we'll move on to amendments if that pleases the chair.
Then that's what we will do. Member discussion, Representative Nash.
Madam Chair, to the author.
Yes.
In committee, the night that we, as a Republican team, ended in a four-way or three-way tie of four amendments apiece, sadly. I had made an amendment to Representative Claiborne's bill adding a number of people to the public. I believe I named my amendment the More is Better amendment, and that was adopted. That is not in the bill, though, and I'm just wondering if you could help us understand
Sure.
your rationale on that, because the committee, including yourself, I believe, voted to do that, and suddenly it's gone. So imagine my concern to that. That's something that everybody here voted on is now removed from the bill.
Chair Dean.
Madam Chair and Representative Nash, I'm actually not imagining your concern. I expected that concern. And as we began to look at that language, it began to be a little concerning because the question was going to be, so what if the applicants didn't meet that number, the number of applicants? That caused some concern for several individuals, including the Secretary of State's office, because then an individual might say, well, it wasn't a fair process because you didn't get 240 amendment or applications. And so that's why we reverted back to the lower numbers as part of this.
Representative Nash, follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I guess it's just another another surprise on something that we had talked about and all agreed on in committee. I think there was even some laughing and said, well, that's a pretty good amendment. We'll just do that. I wish that we would have been able to talk about it, and I guess we're talking about it now, but, you know, I guess more is maybe not better, in your opinion, but it certainly seemed to be the night of the presentation, even by your own members, Mr. Chair, so thanks.
Further member discussion. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Chair Dean, I have a question on Section 77, which is House File 14. I believe that currently is in conference committee, but yet it's being introduced in the elections bill. Perhaps you could give some background as to your logic of why we would incorporate that bill when we already have an active and ongoing conference committee relating to that important topic.
Chair Dean.
Madam Chair and Representative O'Driscoll, as someone who's actually on that conference committee and seeing how the progress is not moving, I felt it was important to include it here in this, because there's a possibility that the conference committee may not reach any agreement that would go back before each body, and I thought it was important that this would be traveling and would come to the floor hopefully at some point in the future.
Representative O'Driscoll, follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Dean, to the point of your impression of the conference committee is that it's not traveling well right now, or things aren't really, and I'm paraphrasing your comments on that. Could you give us a little update as to maybe where we're at? Because that is something that's in the jurisdiction of this committee. It is in the bill, and as we consider the bill in its totality, I guess I'd like to know what your thoughts are and your reactions are as to where you see the conference committee right now.
Chair Dean.
Madam Chair, Representative Driscoll, I'm happy to do that. This is just my perception and my opinion of what's going on. When we first met, the House made an offer to the conference committee. It was not taken up. As you're aware, Representative O'Driscoll, that in order for something to be adopted in a conference committee, it has to have a majority of both bodies, a majority in each of those bodies, in order to move forward. And our proposal was not adopted. Later, there was a proposal that was to purely take the Senate language in the conference committee, and that was not adopted. We have subsequently met again, and the House put forward another proposal for consideration, and that was not adopted. And right now, the conference committee is scheduling its next meeting. So the House has made two offers. The Senate has made one offer, which was what their bill that was passed, and our two offers that we put forward were actually were different than what the House had adopted.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't necessarily mean to belabor this, but as far as conference committees go, and again, for those who may not be fully familiar with conference committees, the gavel switches back and forth in the two chambers, and which chamber is it in right now to call the next conference committee, and has there been one scheduled by that appropriate chamber?
Chair Dean.
Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, yesterday it was in the gavel was in the House, and we had a couple staff members that were sick, so we did not call a meeting yesterday. Today, that is in the hands of the Senate, and I have not received any notice of any meeting today. As you know, the conference committees now go back every 24 hours to each body except Sunday. So today will be the Senate day. If they don't call a meeting, tomorrow will be the House day, and I anticipate that we will call a meeting. Again, I believe that we're sort of waiting to hear from the Senate what they're proposing as something that we might be able to adopt as a conference committee.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Just one last question. Thank you. Is the House ready to prepare another offer that the day that they have the gavel, as you're kind of laying out the timeline? Didn't meet yesterday, which was a House day, Senate day being today, tomorrow being a Senate day, and then perhaps Friday, if it goes that far, it would be a House day. Do you think that the House is going to continue to make an offer to try to negotiate to a successful conclusion?
Chair Dean.
Madam Chair and Representative Driscoll, the last offer that was put forward by the House, so I think we will wait until the Senate comes back with an offer before we would proceed with another offer.
Further member discussion? Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Dean, question for you. If I understand the path correctly, this is going to go to GovOps, and then your intent is to have this rolled into the state government finance omnibus bill?
Madam Chair and Representative Nash, I believe that GovOps will decide what to do with it, but if I'm not mistaken, it will possibly go back in a path to Ways and Means, because that's originally where it came from, and then Ways and Means will probably re-refer it to state government finance.
Representative Nash.
And Madam Chair, you know, I spent my first 4 years here in the majority, and I remember being, I guess lectured is probably an appropriate word, about single subjects and large omnibus bills, something about an omnibus prime and things like that, and hearing that that was generally a bad idea from your side of the aisle. I guess I'm just concerned that something that in my 4 years of experience here has been something that was a bipartisan effort is one, not bipartisan, we'll talk more about that later, but two, that you're putting this into a very large omnibus bill. Is that I just want to make sure that I got that correctly, because I think that's by your own words for the last 4 years, I believe the word is troubled. So that's troubling as well from my perspective.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Nash. I don't know if I ever personally said troubled. I think you're referring to
the larger tone.
Larger tone of maybe the caucus. And what I would say is when we look at the comparables on the other side in the Senate, I believe that their committee chaired by Senator Kiffmeyer actually includes elections under that umbrella. So I would think that that bill would be in keeping with what the Senate would actually move forward as a bill.
Well, and Madam Chair.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Dean, one of the first lessons I learned at the hand of then Representative Kahn was we don't care what happens in the Senate necessarily. And I'm just trying to say what this bill, I have always felt that this should be traveling on its own, and it should stand on its own, and should be bipartisan. I guess we're just not going to be doing any of those things. But thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Representative Dean.
Madam Chair and Representative Nash, as of right now, there is no plan to have an elections bill, separate elections bill in the Senate. So if we move this separately in our body, there would be nothing to match up to. And we do know that there will be some elections provisions most likely on the Senate side. You know, I agree with you that we shouldn't think about the Senate in what we do, but at the same time, I'm on a conference committee regarding to disagreements between the House and the Senate on how to appropriate it. So I think the reality is we have to think about what's happening in the Senate. Ideally, we shouldn't, but that's not how we tend to work here.
Thank you, Representative Dean. Just looking at our timing, members, I understand we have the room until 12:30. Is that correct?
We do, Madam Chair. I know that the Republican caucus has a caucus scheduled for 11:30. And
okay.
If we can get through by that time so that the members can attend their caucus, I think that would be good for all of us.
Thank you, Chair Dean. With that in mind, I propose that we take up the amendments, that we work through our amendments in the next 20 minutes, half an hour, and then move to any public testimony. If there are members of the public who are here to testify on this bill, you can sign in with the page, and then we can move forward with our amendments.
Madam Chair, if I could just reference, I mean, most of these bills have already had public testimony regarding it, so if we could have limited public testimony and allow no more than 2 minutes for any public testifiers to come down.
Public testimony can be limited to 2 minutes. That way we can hear for the most.
Right, per person. Great clarification. And that way we can hear from a number of people if needed. But you are right, a lot of people have weighed in on these bills already. With that, let's move to amendments. Is somebody offering the A2 amendment?
I will offer the A2 amendment.
Representative Bonner offers the A2 amendment. To that amendment, Representative Bonner.
Thank you.
Just tell us what it does.
Okay. So this bill is essentially set up around special primary and general elections held within 4 days before or after a holiday, and it actually clarifies some language in the statute to make sure that we have fair and appropriate process around those holidays to give ample time for folks to account for mail ballots and et cetera, particularly in some of our smaller, more rural communities. And that is, in a nutshell, what it does.
And we need to do one of two things. I thought we were moving the A2 amendment. You said it was the A1 amendment. Representative Bonner, which amendment did you move?
The A1.
Okay, Representative Bonner moves the A1 amendment. I misspoke. Is that clarification clear to everybody? I was looking at the wrong amendment in my packet. So Representative Bonner moves the A1 amendment. Representative Bonner, explain the A1 amendment. A discussion to the A1 amendment. Representative Nash.
Representative New is now here. Perhaps she could speak to that. That was her House File 2322.
Representative New.
Thank you, Representative. I apologize. I'm dealing with a kid who just crashed a car. But
please tell us the kid's okay. We got to take a moment.
He's okay. Actually, the amendment is good. I actually authored the amendment and dropped it as a bill on Friday. So we should absolutely be making this change. We discussed it when we were discussing the bill. So it's a good amendment.
Thank you, Representative New. Further discussion to the A1 amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor of the A1 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. The next amendment is the A2 amendment. And who is offering that amendment?
Madam Chair, I believe I am.
Okay, Representative Dean, your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not as familiar with this amendment. It came to us from some other folks from Hennepin County. And if they'd like to come down, the original proposal that we had in here relative to Hennepin County had some issues around the Minneapolis Public School Board. And so that's why this amendment has been adopted. So I've asked Mr. Hennepin to come down.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee. You can state your name for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair, members, Kirk Peterson with Hennepin County. This is a technical amendment dealing with the Article 2 in the bill referencing the campaign finance streamlining provisions in 383B, which is a Hennepin County statute. This amendment just clarifies that only candidates running for Minneapolis School Board, not other employees, have to file economic interest.
Thank you for that clarification.
Madam, this was heard yesterday in GovOps too. So it's just making those two bills similar in the underlying bill.
Thank you for letting us know. Is there discussion to the amendment, the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A2 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Next up, the A4 amendment.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move the A4 amendment.
Representative Bonner moves the A4 amendment. Discuss to your amendment, Representative Bonner.
Thank you. I want to thank Representative New for actually making a very good catch in the amendment during discussion. This basically clarifies the language around more than one organization being able to host candidate forums or debates, and including that the event can feature candidates from more than one office. I think it was an excellent point, and so we asked that to be drafted and included in the final bill.
Discussion to the amendment. Representative New.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I would just ask the question. We certainly did raise some concerns about this, but some of them were not addressed it still very specifically says nonprofit, and I'm just wondering why we would exclude any other group. I mean, you know, if the Carpenters Union wanted to host a forum, is there a reason that they couldn't do so? I know Cargill often brings in candidates. They're a corporation. Is there a reason that they would not be able to do so? I just think that this still has some problems, and I don't think we have really worked out the details on this one enough and have actually really completely fixed the amendment.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Representative New, Madam Chair. So there were some discussion about that particular provision and some questions about the language in that. And is Mr. Gehring
here? Mr. Gehring is always
if
here
you could speak a little bit to to the rationale behind leaving that language out.
Mr. Gehring.
Madam Chair, Representative Bonner, actually, I would maybe defer to you as the amendment author to describe your intention on drafting the amendment the way that it is.
Yeah. Representative Bonner.
Thank you. Well, I guess I kind of said what I was going to say, which was basically that there was some debate back and forth with various groups about that, and they were not comfortable with that language, so we did not include it. But we will continue to look at it.
Thank you, Representative Bonner. I think that the question raised is a good one, and it might be helpful to, reach out to a few more stakeholders and see if we can work on this so that we don't accidentally preclude anybody from having a candidate forum when they intend to. So thanks for being willing to work on it. Additional discussion? Seeing none. Seeing almost none. Yes.
Are we going to be voting on the amendment?
We will, Representative Ojisco, we're going to vote on the amendment and continue to work on it.
Okay, well, that's what I was confused. I didn't know if we're going to be withdrawing the amendment to work on it or if we're going to move forward with it. And I just want to put one other item on the table for consideration. When I say this name, it's an acronym, and people, it's not a beverage. When I say Pepsi, that is a group of people that I have worked with, and that's a coalition of a number of groups that get together from different areas that have an interest in pensions. And they sometimes will have events and forums, and I think that that's going to create some problems for those individuals, too, as they want to look at their rights. So this is bigger than just nonprofits and others. I think it could potentially end up creating more problems than it solves. So my suggestion would be to the amendment author to look at maybe withdrawing that entire provision so we don't create any kind of disenfranchisement with voters and voter groups. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll.
Madam Chair.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was going to say very similar things. I've got businesses in my district that will invite candidates in to decide whether they would like to support them or not, organizations that are not classified as not-for-profits. So, you know, I understand the author's intent here, but to Representative O'Driscoll's point, that this is going to create a trap for some and will possibly create a situation where people don't have an opportunity to come and hear from potential candidates. So I would ask the author, if your intent is to continue to work on this, perhaps withdraw it and offer a better amendment at a different time.
Yeah, Representative Nash, this does have an additional committee staff, so I think that there is some time to work on it in the next committee, and that work is certainly under the purview of the Government Operations Committee as a whole. So,
Madam Chair, if I'm not mistaken, Representative Bonner sits on the Government Operations Committee as well.
Very good. All right. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A4 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no.
No.
Okay, I didn't say that. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Next up is the A5 amendment. I will move the A5 amendment. This is dealing with the section of the bill that I authored regarding a presidential primary, and what this amendment does is deletes the mail balloting portion. I think that it was kind of widely agreed that we needed to work on that a little bit more, that there was less agreement on mail balloting, more agreement on privacy, so I'd like to move forward with the privacy portions of that. Any discussion? Representative New.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you for the amendment. I think this was really important, and I think we all, actually all agree on the privacy piece. So this is a really good amendment. I do wish that this was moving forward on its own and not in an omnibus bill, because there are a lot of really controversial items in this omnibus bill, and this is not one of them. So I wish we were seeing this move forward on its own, but thank you for the amendment.
Thank you, Representative New. Further discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A5 amendments say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. The A7 amendment. Who would like to offer the A7?
What the heck, Madam Chair? I'll offer the A7
Representative
amendment.
Dean offers the A7 amendment. Can you explain your amendment, sir?
Actually, I can't, but I will phone a friend, and
welcome
they can explain
to the
it
committee. You can state your name for the record and proceed.
Chair members, I'm Sam Bonowitz, Director of Government Relations with the Office of the Secretary of State. The A7 amendment requires voters who would like to be part of the permanent absentee voter list fill out a separate form requesting to be on that list, rather than just checking a box on the voter registration form. And this is in response to some concerns that we heard from the county. So.
Thank you. A discussion, questions for the testifier? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A7 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. The A8 amendment. Representative Dean.
I will put forward the A8 amendment. Madam
Chair, Chair Dean offers the A8 amendment to that amendment.
I will turn it over to Ms. Bonowitz. That's from the Secretary of State's office.
Ms. Bonowitz, thank you.
Chair members, the A8 amendment ensures that voters with a disability who request their ballot materials electronically under this new law receive a pre-stamped return envelope. Right now, absentee voters have their postage paid for by the county, and military and overseas voters are exempt from postage. So this amendment just ensures that the voters with a disability have their postage paid for like everyone else.
Thank you for the clarification. Any discussion to this amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A8 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. The A9 amendment. Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and this is some changes, slight changes, and some deletions, and requested by the Secretary of State's office for some clarification. I'll have Ms. Bonowitz speak to it.
Representative Dean moves the A9 amendment. Ms. Bonowitz.
Chair, the A9 amendment is in response to concerns heard in the bill's first committee hearing. This amendment would allow absentee ballots mailed or returned in person to remain sealed up until 7 days prior to the election, the way that it is right now. This bill still allows for true early voting for the first 30 days leading up to the election. But if a voter decides to mail in their ballot or return their absentee ballot in person, they can utilize the envelope process.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A9 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. A10. Let me guess. Representative Dean? Okay.
Yes, Madam Chair. I will move the A10 amendment.
Chair Dean moves the A10 amendment to that amendment. Ms. Bonowitz?
To that amendment, I will turn it over to Ms. Bonowitz.
Very good. Ms. Bonowitz.
Chair, members of the committee, the A10 amendment clarifies that a blank pre-printed optical scan ballot has to be made available for voters in the jurisdictions using the alternate ballot styles for accessible voting. This is particularly important in the event of any sort of voting system failure. And there's also a letter that's been submitted by the Citizens for Election Integrity Minnesota in support of this letter, and I think that should be in everyone's folder too.
Thank you. Any questions for the testifier, comments on the amendment? Bless you, Representative Bernardi. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A10 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. That appears to be the end of the amendments that have been
Madam Chair, there's another.
Okay. Madam Chair, there should be one more amendment, I believe,
okay.
The A19.
Very good.
0200.
Quite hopeful that perhaps Chairman Dean would like to offer this one.
Representative Nash, would you like to make your motion?
I guess he won't, but yes, I would move the A19.
Representative Nash moves the A19 amendment to your amendment. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know Mr. Gehring has already weighed in on a lot of things, but I'd like him to walk through what this does from an appreciable perspective to the construct of the bill.
Mr. Gehring.
Madam Chair and committee members, so this amendment deletes a number of sections from the bill, and the easiest way to illustrate that, I think, would be to refer to the summary sheet that you have in your packet. I'll just read the sections that are being deleted. So items that this amendment would propose to take out of the omnibus bill include automatic voter registration, school board vacancies, transit service on election day, restoration of voting rights, early voting, landlord obligation to provide voter information to tenants, the in-person absentee voting locations for fewer than 46 days, the electronic voting systems authorization, ranked choice voting, national popular vote compact, the HAVA election security appropriations money, the express advocacy language, the electioneering communications language, the redistricting advisory commission, the districting principles and LCC duties related to redistricting, and then the redistricting of local governments. And then also the presidential nomination primary language is amended to get rid of the mail balloting pieces, but that's already been adopted by a previous amendment, so that's already incorporated in the bill. So with those things deleted, then what would remain in the omnibus bill would be the permanent absentee voter status, the protection of voter party choice in the presidential nomination primary language, the electronic transmission of absentee voting materials to voters with disabilities, the expansion of elections by mail, the allowance for additional increase in the number of voters that a person can assist in a polling place, the modification to the special election timeline, the Hennepin County campaign finance elections language, and then Representative Lucero's non-campaign disbursement for election security expenses, and then also the access to residential facilities for by census workers.
Thank you, Mr. Gehring. Discussion to the amendment.
And thank you, Madam
Representative
Chair.
Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So if you were following the chart that Mr. Gehring just walked through, and thank you, Mr. Gehring, for doing that, the A19 would seek to delete the things that I think it's fair to say are controversial to my side of the aisle, and I have been maintaining for weeks now that historically this bill that we're voting on today has for 20 years been a nonpartisan bill. 20 years. Started with Governor Ventura, Governor Pawlenty, Governor Dayton, all said they wanted elections omnibus bills that were nonpartisan. I have said it a number of times, and I'm going to talk about it again. When I showed up as a freshman and I sat in this committee and we huddled beforehand, then Chair Sanders made it abundantly clear that if any of us had bills that we wanted to put in that would have been considered a Republican bill and hated by the other side of the aisle, that this was no place for that. There was no home for a Republican gotcha bill in the elections omnibus bill. And we worked with the minority lead closely to make sure that there was agreement out of that committee in this bill for it to be a completely bipartisan bill. It was voted out unanimously. Second term of my career here, we were also the majority. Chair O'Driscoll had the same huddle with us. Said, folks, there is no place in this bill for things that the other side is going to find controversial. We will not do it. It's not going to happen. This is not something that is going to go down that road. And we made sure that that was in great consultation with the minority lead, which was Representative Nelson. Great pains, because I was on the committee and I worked with Chair O'Driscoll. Long hours spent in offices and rooms debating bills that would or would not be included in this same bill from years past. We have walked away from that, or you have walked away from that, with this bill. And Chair Dean, I have talked to you on a number of occasions, and you had tipped your intent even before we came into session when you and I met, and I find that troubling. I find that deeply troubling, because when I was given this assignment to be the minority lead on this committee, I hearkened back to the lectures that were given to me by then Chair O'Driscoll and Sheriff Sanders and said, there is no place for partisanship. And yet, this is loaded with partisan issues. And Chair Dean, you admitted that it was going to be a partisan bill from the very beginning. And I am just dismayed. I am dismayed that a bill that had heretofore been a bipartisan, come-together, kumbaya moment is now loaded up with things that my side has said we're uncomfortable with, we don't want that in the bill, and yet here it sits. So this amendment that I'm going to ask for a roll call on, Madam Chair, would seek to bring forward a bill that only has the nonpartisan issues in it. And I think that it is a fair request, because if we were offering that to you all when you were in the minority, and 20 years of governors have required that, why would we not honor that tradition? I will also point out that Governor Walz gave an interview with Breanna Biersbach as we were just starting our work, and he agreed that the elections bill should be a bipartisan bill. And I'm almost done.
You tricked me.
I see you trying to get there. I always say thank you, Madam Chair, when I'm done. And again, yesterday, imagine my now even further consternation and dismay. I got a letter from the governor after I had written him two letters requesting his confirmation of his statement with Breanna Biersbach in the interview. So I open up the letter, was anxiously looking forward to seeing, essentially, I'll paraphrase, yep, I want a bipartisan bill. And I don't know what happened, but somewhere from February 13th until yesterday, he changed his mind. So I'm not sure if the chair reached out to him or not, but now he doesn't really feel like bipartisanship is an issue that he wants to pursue. But I do. And I think you do, too. Madam Chair, I've known you for 4 years, 5 years, and we sat in this same committee, and I remember you talking about that this being a bipartisan bill was a very good idea. And that's when you were in the minority. And here we sit today with a very partisan bill. So I have requested a roll call.
Representative Nash requests a roll call.
And Madam Chair, again, I would encourage members to remember that this is the one thing that we can point out to Minnesotans that we did as a bipartisan effort, that we brought forward a bill that will go on to who knows where as a bipartisan effort. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Discussion, Chair Dean.
Madam Chair and Representative Nash and committee members, Representative Nash, you had mentioned a conversation that you had with Breanna Biersbach, and my understanding is the statement that she had put forward relative to the governor was his hope or his goal to have a bipartisan bill. I don't think he said emphatically that he was committed to a bipartisan bill moving forward. And I've said from day one in this committee, when I was challenged about the issue about a bipartisan bill that would be unanimous coming out of this committee, that in my sort of thinking about the current legislation, that we have a Senate that has a Republican majority, and anything that would be able to make it through both the House and through the Senate to the governor's desk would ultimately have to have bipartisan support and buy-in to make that happen. You know, a lot of these things that you talk about being very bipartisan in other states, they've been adopted. This is what several other states already use. So we can talk specifically about Minnesota. We can talk specifically about the past 20 years. And, you know, we also have to consider the context. That Minnesota is in a unique position than any other state in the country, and that we have a divided legislature where one body is of one party and the other body is of another party, except for one state, which is Nebraska, which only has one body. They only have a Senate. They don't have anything else. So I think as Representative Nash, having been in the majority, understands that there's going to be some work that's going to have to be done between the House and the Senate to get to an agreement, to get something to the governor's desk. And ultimately, I would hope that we would move something to the governor's desk with both our chambers, something that the governor would actually be able to sign, that, in other words, that there would be many things that are agreed upon, and ultimately with two separate bodies that have two separate majorities, I would assume the only way they're going to get to the governor is going to be what's agreed upon. So I will admit that this bill includes more of Democrat-introduced bills than a Republican-introduced bills, although we do include some Republicans. We did accommodate several amendments that were put forward on our bills as they moved through the committee. I would just add that it makes it real difficult when you put all of the cutting in one amendment versus separate amendments, because I think there could have been some room to work on some of these other issues if they would have come in separate amendments. But since they're all in one one large amendment, I would have to ask members to not to support the amendment at this time.
Thank you, Chair Dean. And I think you raise a point that it sounds like there are some places of additional agreement that we can find, and that this bill is off to government operations for further work. And so before that is scheduled, and while that's in committee, I encourage members to work with the author and talk about that. Representative O'Driscoll.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what, Representative O'Driscoll? Representative Nash.
To your point before Representative Nash speaks, Madam Chair,
Chair Dean.
I am happy to sit down with the minority lead, Representative Nash, to go through the pieces that is a bit concerning to Republicans and see what we can't work out.
Apologies, Chair, Representative Nash. I know that you wanted to respond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the point that the author made regarding the interview, it was not a written interview. It was a video, and I will forward you the link, and I'll give you the time cuts. But the governor said very distinctly in the interview that he had every expectation that it would be a bipartisan bill. The question that was posed to him was, as in years past, do you expect that the elections bill will be a bipartisan bill? And he did indeed say yes. And then later in the letter he said, well, not so much. So I'm troubled by that flip-flop, but I wanted to point out something to you, and I'm a former competitive debater for a very long time, so words mean things to me. What you've described as something coming out of or getting to the governor, going through the Senate, what you've described there as bicameralism, meaning two chambers, I'm talking about bipartisanship. Bipartisanship has always been demonstrated here since I arrived in this committee on this bill, that the minority was considered so much that the bill that was forwarded was, many people said, I need an extra cup of coffee or a five-hour energy drink because this is kind of a snoozer. It was the nerdy policy bill that, sorry, Chair O'Driscoll, but that it was something that was not going to be something that people got really worked up about. There are things in here that people get worked up about in opposition. And that's my dismay. That is my concern, that what had been previously a very benign bill that contained technical changes to make elections better, were included. Now we're seeing things that make elections morphologically different. It's very, very different from what they used to be. That is a concern for me. The biggest concern is that this is your desire is for a bicameral solution. I'm saying this should be a bipartisan solution, and it's not. So, Madam Chair, thank you.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And since my name has been invoked in a couple of different contexts relative to history on this, I want to just remind members that we hear an awful lot right now that Minnesota is the only state that has divided government. Minnesota is the only state that has divided government. As though this has never happened, and it's the first time in U.S. history that this has happened. It is not, and it is not in the state of Minnesota, and it is not as it relates to an elections bill. I will go back to my time, 2017, 2018, as the chair of government operations. And as previously been established, Representatives Nash, Representative Halverson, and I have all been on that. As a matter of fact, we have worked so bipartisanly on that. That last time that we put the elections bill forward, the DFL, I think, felt that they were treated very well on this, that they actually put together an amendment that was kind of a parody amendment on the chair because of some of the things and trying to put an act together. We all had a good laugh on that. We all thought that we worked well together, and that bill passed. That was the elections bill. We also had a separate campaign finance bill because they are two different areas, two different parts of statute. I reached out, along with our bill authors, to the Senate in advance of anything that we were looking to do to try to find common ground on this. That was Republicans in both the House and the Senate. Going back to the year previous to that, when Chair Sanders was there, the DFL controlled the Senate. Chair Sanders did the exact same thing, reached out with the chair of the Elections and State Government Committee in the House and the Senate to try to find common ground. And it was, you have your priorities, we have ours. What can we get done for Minnesota? How can we continue to provide for Minnesotans confidence in their election processes? Moving back to my first year in the minority, which is Representative Halverson's first year in the Minnesota State House, was 13 and 14. Now Secretary Simon was the chair of the Elections Committee, and Chair Sanders, then Representative Sanders, was the lead on that. What we ended up finding was that was complete DFL control of the House and the Senate during that time. But yet we still found a way to reach out as House members to the Senate in advance of putting the bill together to have a conversation that was important to Minnesotans. You have priorities. I have priorities. What are Minnesota's priorities? What can we get done? And I remember sitting in Chair Simon's office, being invited in by him and by our Republican lead, Tim Sanders, and we sat there. And the first words out of then Secretary, or then Representative, now Secretary of State Simon's mouth were, folks, if we don't have bipartisan support, we can't do it. We literally put our lists on the table and said, out of bounds, inbounds, because this is good for Minnesotans. Somehow this has changed over the years. Somehow this process has changed. And if Minnesotans can't have confidence in their election systems and their election processes, it's a grave day in Minnesota. So I wanted to just provide a little bit more background for members as you consider where we are heading. And it's my hope that in this process, that as difficult as schedules can be, as difficult as topics can be, that our chair in the elections would have and does continue to reach out to the chair of the accompanying committee or corresponding committee in the Senate to have those difficult conversations, because that's how things get done. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. Seeing no further discussion, Representative New.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say, I'll state a rather unpopular opinion, perhaps, that I'm not inherently opposed to omnibus bills. There's so much work to get done that just, and we all know that we're up against deadlines all the time, and just as a matter of time, there's not enough of it to get done everything we need to get done without some omnibus bills. However, my concerns with this bill as it is, and why I would recommend a yes vote on the DE amendment, is specifically because, there are a number of provisions in this omnibus bill as it stands that, frankly, are not necessarily partisan. I mean, we look at the restoration of felon voting rights, the national popular vote. These are not necessarily partisan issues, but they are issues that people feel very passionately about. And I think that they are the kind of issue that if we are going to bring them before the body as a whole, they really do deserve being treated individually. I think they are exactly the kind of bills that can tank an omnibus bill like this. That's frankly a really important bill. There are really important provisions in here that we do need to move forward. So certainly I have concerns about having some of those provisions in here that are kind of ticking time bombs that can really tank this bill in no time. I would also suggest that, you know, I appreciate some of the amendments that were made today, because some of them really did move to resolve and clarify some of the concerns that we've expressed. But there are other bills that are still included in this omnibus bill that are of great concern. You know, we still have Representative Bonner's language on expressly advocating. And I think we had a really good, thorough discussion. I think that there was some understanding that there was still work to be done on this, which is a little confusing to me. This language, as written, we are going from very clear, concise language to very vague and unclear language. And this is really going to have a chilling effect on speech that we should all be very concerned about. I think it's also important to note that when it comes to elections, this is only affecting the elections communications that is already the most disclosed, has the most light shed on it already, and we are working to chill that, and that's really, really concerning to me that such a controversial issue would be included in this omnibus bill. And on a related note, the electioneering communications, I'll be honest, I'm shocked that is in this bill. When even as we discussed this bill and got into how confusing much of this language is, that even Mr. Sigurdsson from the Campaign Finance Board said in his testimony that, well, as we're looking at the problems, that, well, we can see why the Campaign Finance Board was not putting this language forward, because it was that confusing and that unclear. So I strongly recommend members supporting this DE amendment. You know, we talk about the bipartisan nature and divided government, and we certainly do have divided government, but we also had divided government in 2015, and we still had a bipartisan bill come out of the House. And I think it really is important to honor that history and make sure that everyone understands that our elections are, I've said this in the committee before, but this is among our most sacred institution elections. And I think it's really dangerous to make significant moves changing that without clear bipartisan support. And I would give my commitment to the chair, to committee members, that if we can adopt this amendment, I'll tell you what, as Republicans in this committee, we certainly stand ready to work with you in working with the other chamber to make sure we get this bill done, because there really are some important provisions here. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative New. Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll on the amendments.
Chair Dean?
No.
Bonner?
No.
Nash?
Yes.
Bernardi?
No.
Halverson?
No.
Mann?
No.
New?
Yes.
O'Driscoll?
Yes.
There being five ayes and three nays. Oh, I'm sorry. There being three ayes and five nays. So close. I bet you did. Okay, there being three ayes and five nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. I would like to move now to anybody who has signed up to testify on this bill. I think George, I had the name of George Beck, but I don't see Mr. Beck. So, very good. So everybody's had their say on the bill the first time through. Any further member discussion? I intend to vote on this. Oh, sorry. Welcome to the committee.
Madam
Chair, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Members, thank you. Sorry about that confusion. My name is Matt Hilgart. I work for the Association of Minnesota Counties. The AMC represents all of Minnesota's 87 counties. I just wanted to review four things that are in the bill that AMC is supportive of. One, the restoration of felon voting rights. AMC has had this on our platform for the last 4 years. Secondly, we appreciate
the comments made today on the presidential primary mechanisms in the bill. This had to be single-handedly the most popular issue brought up at our last annual conference, and it started with one person who went around our entire conference talking to others, and by the end of it, folks were grabbing every staff member they could to say, could you believe this is happening, and this is what might be happening to voters' data. So we appreciate the conversations that you've been having on this issue and want to work with authors to try to get this done this year. Third, mail balloting threshold increases for all cities under 400 regardless of geographic location. That's a very important policy for Mako and some of our suburban members, and one that I know I think Representative Garofalo and Kosnick have carried at various times as well, and perhaps Representative Nash. And then lastly, the HAVA money, and there were good discussions about this, and there are ongoing discussions, but we do support the full appropriation to the Secretary of State's fund, our Secretary of State's office, and we've been included in their working groups, are very content and happy with the plan moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Olson.
I'm Troy Olson, representing the Minnesota Association of County Officers, and just to save time, I will just say that's what I would have said, so thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much for your consideration. And Representative Nash? Oh, sorry, I thought you were moving to speak. Any additional members of the public who wish to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, I'm looking thoroughly.
Madam Chair.
Representative Nash.
Madam Chair, I won't belabor my closing comments because I think I just made them a few minutes ago, but very disappointed that this is not a bipartisan bill. I think that it's got some major flaws that are going to ultimately tank the bill, much like Representative New said. And for that reason, Madam Chair, I'm going to ask for a roll call.
A roll call has been requested. Further discussion? Representative Mann.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I think that this is a good bill, and I sometimes feel like I'm sitting in a different committee. I mean, this bill increases voter registration so that people can participate in our democracy. It releases the money so that we can make sure our elections are safe and secure, and for whatever reason, we're the only state that hasn't done that yet. It prevents gerrymandering. I don't know how any of those issues are partisan. I really don't. And that amendment seeks to undo all of those things. So I think a roll call is a good idea. And I support this bill fully.
Thank you, Representative Mann. Representative Bonner.
Thank you. I want to, you know, thank you, Madam Chair, Chair Dean. I do want to kind of follow up on what Representative Mann has said. Well, I certainly agree that we want to do as much as we can to work across the aisle and find provisions that work for you. And I think there has been some attempt to try to make amendments, and there's actually been some excellent points raised during discussion, and I want to thank you for that robust discussion. And I think it in the end leads to better policy, so I really respect that and appreciate that. But at the same point, there's some pretty common sense things in this bill, and some things that we've said should are controversial, which really shouldn't be. When we talk about things like transparency in our elections, that's been brought up multiple times today. I got to tell you, the Supreme Court actually had hoped that the states would take this issue up. They actually expressly said that. And so that is exactly what we're attempting to do here. And I don't think that the public is deceived in any way in not wanting to know where communications are coming from so they can make informed decisions. I think that's a fair thing to ask. I really do. I think when we talk about simple things like early voting, very easy. You know, Representative Mann brought up excellent points. I won't go back over each and every one of them, but there are some really great things in this bill that I think the people of Minnesota want, that I think are not partisan at all or should not be. And so I would support this measure, and I would hope that other folks, we can continue to have conversations on this, that other folks will agree that some of these things have extreme merit.
Further discussion to the bill. Seeing none, Representative Dean, last word, and we can move to a vote.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. I know that this has been a a pretty incredible feat for a committee that meets once every other week, albeit we met a lot more than that. Before I thank the staff and all their work, I want to respond to some comments that were made. I was not in debate. I am not going to talk about that, but I think that sometimes words matter, and sometimes the way we chop words matter even more. This would be a bicameral bill if it makes it to the governor. It would also be bipartisan by the nature of the other body being of a different party. As there are many people that are really concerned about some of the provisions in this bill, I think there are many people that are passionately in support of many things that are in this bill as well. It's the nature of being in Minnesota. It's the nature of what we do things. It's been brought up that for 20 years, this bill has been bipartisan, 100% bipartisan. I believe that many of these things should be bipartisan, that are made partisan for the wrong reasons. And I think 20 years is a long time to wait to actually start to move some of our election provisions so that our elections can have more integrity, so that more people are able to participate in our elections. So with that, Madam Chair, I know that we will continue to work on this bill, but before we take a vote, I want to take a moment and just thank all the members for the work. I think that for a committee that meets once every other week, I think we've done amazing work. There is still work to be done, and I look forward to working with members as this continues to move forward. But I want to take a moment to thank the committee administrator, Amanda Rudolph, for the role she's played, as well as my legislative assistant, Ying-Ye Vang, and, of course, our researcher, Amine, for her work, and as well as you, Brian, for your work moving forward. And, of course, this would have been probably a NASCAR race if it wasn't for Mr. Gehring. So thank you for your work as well. So thanks, everybody. I would encourage a yes vote, and let's move forward today.
Thank you, Chair Dean. With that, Chair Dean renews his motion that House File 1603 be re-referred to the Committee on Government Operations. A roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
As amended.
Let me do that again. House File 1603, as amended, be re-referred to the Committee on Government Operations. Thank you. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Dean?
Yes.
Bonner?
Yes.
Nash?
No.
Bernardi?
Yes.
Halverson?
Yes.
Mann?
Yes.
New?
No.
O'Driscoll?
No.
There being five ayes and three nays, the motion prevails, and you're on your way to government operations.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Very quickly, because I know that time is of the essence here. Chair Dean, is given the comments you just made, I assume that we are done until the call of the chair for any bills that might be passing through that may have election provisions in the future. Would I be safe in that assumption, or
you,
are you planning to continue having this committee meet?
Madam Chair, Representative Driscoll, we will meet to the call of the chair. We will not meet at a scheduled date. If any bills move forward that we think are important to be heard, we will hear them in committee.
Thank you. That we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.